You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. One of the things God's doing right now in the earth is he's reorienting his church around his presence. God is inviting the body of Christ to prioritize worship and prayer and ministry to him like never before. And so what we're beginning to see is churches are becoming presence-centered communities. So I want to take today's podcast episode and talk about presence-centered communities. What are they? What does that term even mean? Welcome to the podcast today. I'm your host, Matthew Lilly. Today is going to be a short teaching on what is a presence-centered community. Part of our mission as a ministry for Presence Pioneers is to connect, equip, and plant presence-centered communities. Well, that may sound cool or sound nice or sound interesting, but what does it actually mean? And so that's what I want to dive into today, because this podcast even exists to help those of you who are a part of presence-centered communities. We want to equip you to host the presence of God because we believe God's presence changes everything. And I want to thank you before I get going here today. Thank you for being a part of the podcast community. Thank you for liking and sharing and subscribing. If you could give us a rating, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, that really helps a lot. Really grateful for those of you who share on social media and give us feedback on the podcast. That is amazing. Well, I want to answer the question, what is a presence-centered community? Phrases like this are becoming more and more trendy, especially within what we'd call the prayer movement, the charismatic movement. You're hearing phrases over the last few years like prayer culture, culture of prayer, prioritizing God's presence, presence-centered community, those kinds of things, which I think that's great. And I've been a voice in trying to call the church back to these things. And I love it, but it can be helpful when we use these terms, we're trying to awaken and provoke people to get back to what's biblical. And if you're not careful, these terms can kind of take on a life of their own if we don't define them and explain what exactly we mean and root them in biblical foundations so that it's not just some kind of trend or some kind of lingo that we're using, but that we're rooting our practices and we're rooting our lives and we're rooting our leadership in biblical truth. So what does it mean to be a part of and to lead a presence-centered community? Is that a community where God's doing miracles, healing people, and releasing his power when we lay hands on each other? That's how some people would define it. Is it a community where worship is 45 minutes instead of 20 minutes? Is it a culture of prayer because we have one or two prayer meetings a week at our church or at our community? Do we have to pray and worship every day? Or do we have to maybe do 24-hour prayer? Do we have to have a prayer room? Is that what counts as a presence-centered community? Do Sunday morning church services have to feel like a prayer meeting in order for it to really be a presence-centered community? Where do we draw the lines? What do we mean? Let's dive in. Let's explain it. For me, the best way that I can give definition to this is to go to the Word of God. And so I want to give three biblical examples of presence-centered communities. And then in part two, I want to share eight marks of a presence-centered community and get really practical, nitty-gritty. But first, let's look at the three biblical examples. Number one, you have the throne room in heaven. As I describe in my book, David's Tabernacle, I like to call the heavenly throne room God's man cave. This is where God's will is done. This is where God has things exactly how he wants them. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So this is where we get this idea that heaven is the place of God's perfect will. This is the place where he has exactly what he wants. And so when we read about the heavenly throne room, especially in Revelation 4 and 5, we get a glimpse at what it is that God desires on the earth. Heaven is our example. Heaven is the standard for what God wants to do on the earth and what he wants to bring into our lives, into our homes, into our churches, and into our cities and nations as well. So what's happening in Revelation 4 and 5? We're not going to go verse by verse. I encourage you, if you haven't read it lately or you never have, to go check it out, read through it on your own. But in the heavenly throne room, you see the throne of God in the center, and everything orients around him. God is in the middle. You could call that presence centered, because God is in the center and everything is focused on him. Everything is oriented around him. All the worship is going to him, all the songs, all the praise, everything is flowing to him and from him. And this is what God desires in our lives, in our hearts, as well as in our churches and in our communities. And as you zoom out from the center, the throne of God, in the middle, you have the four living creatures and the 24 elders that surround the throne of God. These are heavenly beings. You might call them angels, but they're not technically angels, but they're heavenly creatures, heavenly beings that are around the throne of God. And it says that those four living creatures are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," day and night. And they're worshiping him. And those 24 elders are seen on thrones, and they've got crowns on their head, and they're casting down their crowns before God, and they're worshiping him. And this is happening day and night. And you zoom out and you see myriads and myriads of angels. And then you zoom out and you see every tribe, tongue, and nation joining in this day and night worship and prayer that's happening in heaven. It's musical, it's antiphonal, it's day and night, and it's happening constantly in heaven. And I believe God wants it to happen on the earth. So heaven is a presence-centered community. Now, that might be weird to think of, but it's true. It's our example. It's the standard. All eyes are on him. He is in the middle. He's at the center. There's constant worship and prayer. And all that God does flows from that throne room. God governs the universe in that context of constant worship and adoration and intercession. That is the environment from which God himself sovereignly releases his commands and his decrees and his justice and his power. It's from that context of worship and prayer. So you see that that presence center community is worshiping and praying in heaven, but from that worship and prayer, things are being released that impact the earth. Justice and righteousness are the foundation of his throne, and they flow out from heaven onto the earth. You see these pictures as you continue to read the book of Revelation of the bowls of incense, which it says in Revelation 5:8 are the prayers of the saints. Those bowls of incense are poured out onto the earth. So what happens in the present center community overflows out beyond that, what's happening in that community. Heaven is our example. And as we'll see in the other biblical examples, that's always the way it is. We focus on the Lord, we minister to him, we worship and we pray, but then there's an overflow from that place that affects everything around it. There's an impact, there's a transformation that inevitably comes when we prioritize the presence of God. So number one, the heavenly throne room. Example number two of a presence-centered community in the Bible, big shocker here, is David's tabernacle. So I wrote a whole book on David's tabernacle, but we've got to touch on this because the New Testament talks about the tabernacle of David being raised back up, quoting Amos 9:11. But Acts 15 talks about this restoration of David's tabernacle. And so it is relevant to us as New Testament believers to understand the unique worship that David established in his day. And so what David did is when he became king of Israel and finally was able to bring all the 12 tribes together in unity, he established a new capital in Jerusalem. And what did he do? He went and got the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was known as the throne of God. This was the connection point on the earth between heaven and earth. This was where God's glory and his manifested presence rested, was on this ark. So David says, hey, if I'm the king, we've got to make the very first thing we do, getting the presence of God and putting it right in the center. This was revolutionary. This was powerful. And this had massive ripple effects, not only for David's life and Solomon's life after him, but for the entire narrative of human history, actually. That David said, let's get the ark and let's bring it to Jerusalem. And as he brings the ark in, there's a radical worship and prayer. He establishes a new order of worship that's based on the Melchizedek priesthood rather than the Levitical priesthood. And that worship is musical. It's antiphonal, just like what you see in heaven. He's literally got 24 chief worship leaders, just like there's 24 elders in heaven with harps. It's really cool. And so David begins to do what we see in the heavenly throne room on the earth. And when he gets this ark set up in the tent in Jerusalem, many of you know the story. If you've been tracking with us on this podcast, he establishes day and night worship and prayer in Jerusalem. He pays the Levites and equips them and trains them and releases them and empowers them to stand before the very glory of God, sing to him, praise him, thank him, pray to him, prophesy, write songs, offer creative music and expression, sing the Bible. They ministered to the Lord day and night there in the tabernacle of David in Jerusalem for 33 years, and then passed off the kingdom to his son Solomon, who actually continued this expression of worship. Now, one of the things that I think is important for this discussion today in terms of being a presence-centered community, David made Israel a presence-centered community through his leadership. But part of what he did is he released the resources and the finances and the staffing in order to prioritize the presence of God. So where we put our money, where we put our time, and what we do first, these things are an indicator of what's most important to us. So to be centered on something, it means it's something we're going to probably do first. It means it's something that we're going to put some energy and some time and our money and our resources towards. And that's exactly what you see in the life and the leadership of David. Like I said, David, as soon as he gets these 12 tribes united, he gets the new capital. His very first order of business is to get God's presence. If we don't have God, we don't have anything. That's what David's heart was. He knew that everything flows from relationship with the Lord and that God's presence changes everything. And so he prioritized that ark getting to the capital city and setting up this ministry to the Lord. By the end of his reign, he had trained 4,000. He and his team had trained 4,000 musicians, Levite musicians. They had raised equivalent of $1 billion in order to pass off the kingdom to his son Solomon to continue this worship, to pay the Levites, to build the temple, to facilitate this priestly ministry to the Lord. So David put his money where his mouth was. He didn't just sing the songs, oh, there's one thing I ask, there's one thing I seek, God. He actually let it impact his life, impact his schedule, impact his finances, his bank account, to make sure that God was worshiped, that prayer was the priority, and that relationship and intimacy with the Lord was at the center of their community. Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll be back to the episode in just a moment. I wanted to quickly invite you to consider partnering with the mission of Presence Pioneers at the end of 2024. Did you know that Presence Pioneers is not just a podcast, but a nonprofit ministry organization with a mission to connect, equip, and plant presence-centered communities for revival that touch the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Through Presence Pioneers Media, we are producing resources and teachings such as this podcast, books, articles, and videos to equip and strengthen the prayer movement. But we are also helping connect and plant houses of prayer, praying churches, and other presence-centered ministries. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, would you consider sowing into our ministry with a special gift at the end of the year? We are praying for an additional $25,000 to help us go into the new year with strength. You can go to fundprayer.com to give today. That's F-U-N-D fundprayer.com, fundprayer.com. All donations received by December 31st are tax deductible. Again, you can go to fundprayer.com to partner with us. Thank you so much. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now, back to the episode. In Israel. So David's tabernacle is our second example. The third example is the church at Antioch. Now, really, you could kind of say the entire book of Acts if you want to, but specifically, I want to zero in at the church at Antioch. In Acts 13, you see once this church has gotten established, you see that they are embracing ministry to the Lord in a unique way. It says they were ministering to the Lord and fasting at the church at Antioch. There's a number of interesting things about this specific group of believers in Antioch and how they were a presence-centered community. Number one is they were a diverse community. They were the first community that was really not predominantly Jewish, but they were a Gentile church, and this was a new thing. They were also uniquely described as fasting, and they were uniquely described as ministering to the Lord. Now, the believers in Jerusalem prayed. We know that. They had rhythms of worship and prayer. But that word in the original language of the Bible in Acts 13, it was written in Greek, is the word liturgeo, and it's this word that describes the liturgy of the church. So the liturgy is not something you do one time. It's not something that's a special event, but it's something that you do regularly, many times daily. And so the church at Antioch was ministering to the Lord. They were worshiping. They were liturgeoing God as a rhythm of life, as a way of orienting their community around God. I'm actually going to read it from Acts chapter 13 because I love the description of what happens as they're worshiping and praying and fasting, because this is an important part of what it means to be a presence-centered community. Acts 13, verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. I love that as they're worshiping, praying, fasting, God speaks, and then they obey the voice of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is a big part of what it means to prioritize the presence of God, is to prioritize His voice and to follow the Holy Spirit. Because God's presence is not His aura. It's not something He sends to us. It's Him. It's that God Himself is with us, manifesting Himself. He is among us. He comes. And so when we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about God. God is with us. God is among us. And God is a relational, loving God. He wants to speak. He wants to lead. He wants the real, vibrant, interactive, conversational, dynamic relationship that we can have with Him, both individually and corporately. And the church at Antioch gives us an example of that corporate interaction with the dynamic presence of God, where He's speaking, He's leading, they're responding, they're obeying, and the power of God is released. And this is the first time missionaries are ever sent out in the New Testament. It's from this church at Antioch. And I believe even more so than Acts chapter 2 and the church at Jerusalem, I believe Acts chapter 13 and the church at Antioch is even more so a prototype for us as Christians on the kind of church that God wants in the body of Christ. I believe it's the church coming into greater maturity and finally beginning to step into what Jesus had originally instructed His disciples and apostles to do. And the church at Antioch, they were really doing the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David was really doing the heavenly throne room. So you see this pattern from heaven to David's tabernacle to the church at Antioch of the DNA and the heart of a presence-centered community of gathering around God, ministering to His heart, worship, and prayer, waiting on Him, hearing His voice, and then moving in obedience so that that overflow And those ripple effects of his presence will begin to impact your city, your community, your nation, and those around you. So those are three, probably the best three I can think of, biblical examples of presence-centered community. And when I say that phrase, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about David's tabernacle. And I'm talking about the church at Antioch and the kinds of things that were happening in those places and that are happening even now in the heavenly throne room. That's the kind of things I believe God wants to see happen in our churches, in our homes, and in the body of Christ so that we will be presence-centered communities. I want to make a couple final points here and then a few practical applications for you. There's a difference between enjoying God's presence and hosting God's presence. So when we talk about being a presence-centered community, there's certain communities that maybe love the presence of God. They love the goosebumps. They love worship, but it's not the priority. It's not the first thing. They like prayer. They think it's important, but it's on the list somewhere. Rather than the biblical, I believe, and heavenly model of ministry to the Lord, being on the top of the list and setting the rest of the list. It's the difference between having a prayer ministry in your church versus having a prayer culture in your church. And so most churches, pastors, ministries, Christians will say, prayer's good. Yeah, prayer's good. Worship's good. But the question is it having the right place in our lives and therefore having the right impact on our lives because we pray first, we worship first, we follow the Holy Spirit so that everything we do is led by Him and an overflow of first being in His presence. And that's what it means to be presence-centered. It's not just that we think prayer and worship are kind of important, but it's that we prioritize Him and host Him. And that's what it means. The other point I want to make, I'm talking today about being a presence-centered community. So I'm speaking corporately. I'm talking about churches, ministries, families, groups of people. Being a presence-centered community is a bit different than maybe having a presence-centered lifestyle. So I do want to say it's important for all of us as individuals, as Christians, to have our private time with God, to cultivate secret place. In fact, we did a whole episode, where is it? Episode 122 with Jake Cale recently about cultivating the secret place. That's so important. Okay, so we want to have a presence-centered lifestyle as individuals, but I think we need to emphasize being a presence-centered community and creating cultures and ministries and churches that are gathering around the presence of God. And that's what I'm talking about today, whether it's a church or a parachurch ministry, or even just a family, a group of Christians who prioritize the presence of God in ministry to Him first and seek Him first, and then are launched into mission and outreach from that place. So the individual lifestyle of prayer is super important, but some churches and ministries just kind of treat prayer that way, and they say, hey, go home and pray. Go home and have your quiet time with God. But then everything else that that church or ministry or community does, there's no corporate prayer. There's no seeking God together. There's no listening to His voice together, following the Holy Spirit together and moving with Him. You know, we've got our programs, we've got our plans, we've got our agendas, we've got our strategies we've picked up in different places. But what does it mean to actually say, hey, don't just go home and pray? Of course, go do that. Spend time with God every day, read your Bible, worship every day. But what would it look like for us as a people of God to come together and do that with regular rhythms as well, and let our decisions be based on what He speaks and how He leads from that place together? Okay, a couple practical application points, and then I want to share the 8 marks of a presence-centered community. Number one, live that presence-centered lifestyle. If God's going to build presence-centered communities, it's because individuals are cultivating that personal relationship with God. And we are living stones built together as the people of God. So presence-centered living stones are going to build a presence-centered place for God to dwell. Number two, practical application. If you are parents and you are overseeing your home and you have kids or even just you and your spouse, start in the home. You go, okay, this is awesome. We want to prioritize God's presence just like it says in the Bible. Start in your home. Start in your heart and then begin to build it in your home. If you've got roommates, begin to do that in your home first. Number three, find corporate rhythms. Find prayer meetings to go to. Find burn events to go to. Find a house of prayer to engage with. Do it. Get involved. Go to the prayer meeting. Show up. Be consistent. Be a part of a presence-centered community. Number four, some of you love this stuff. You're stirred. You're excited, but you need to start something because maybe there is something you could go to and you're still supposed to start something on your own. But maybe there's not something nearby that you feel like you can engage with. Maybe you should gather some friends, start a prayer meeting, start a house of prayer, start doing burn events on the weekends. We've got resources available for you. There's lots of stuff online now to help you with launching these kinds of things, 24/7 prayer rooms. You can do it. Start with just gathering some friends, get together, pray, worship, and be a part of what God is doing in terms of gathering us back around His presence as the first and the priority above all. Now, for the second part of this podcast and this teaching, I want to talk about the eight marks of a presence-centered community. And these are going to be primarily aimed at leaders, pastors, ministers, those who are part of teams who want to build presence-centered communities. However, if you want to catch the second half, the eight marks of a presence-centered community, and get some insights for leading these kinds of ministries, the second half is going to be available exclusively on Presence Pioneers Premium, which is our subscriber community on our Substack page. And we'll have the link down in the description so you can sign up if you're not already, and you can get the second half of this teaching today. If you're already signed up, just click through, jump in, and check out the eight marks of a presence-centered community. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Let me pray for you. God, bless everyone who listened to or watched this teaching today. God, I pray that they would prioritize your presence. I pray that they would see, Jesus, that you are worthy of worship and prayer. God, that the distractions of the busyness of life, the distractions of ministry, of family, of business, even good things in life, God, that even the good things would not take the first place in our lives and hearts, Jesus, but that you would, that loving you, knowing you, and worshiping you would be the priority of our lives, God. Help everything to flow from you. Help us to say no to other things that we need to say no to. Help us to make the sacrifices necessary so that our lives can overflow with your power, with your transforming grace, with righteousness and justice, Lord, with mission, with evangelism, with love and compassion to those around us. God, root your church in your presence. Raise up presence-centered communities all over the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.